We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are back. We'll start things out talking Twins baseball, maybe not the major league level, but we're going to go to Double A, where Jake Maurer, the manager of Chattanooga, is standing by. Jake, we appreciate your joining us this morning. Where are you, home or away today?
We're in Jackson, Tennessee, believe it or not, in a tornado watch. Severe thunderstorm warning right now. So,
well, if you have to duck away, we'll understand.
Yeah, if we hear sirens in the background, we'll let you go, Jake.
Yeah, you'll know where I'm headed.
That, sure. Hey, Jake, I took a look at your box from last night. Tough getting Cole Stewart going. Number one draft choice. His stats so far, I looked at him in 19 innings, 20 walks, 10 wild pitches. What's going on there?
I think Davey took a step forward last night. He competed much better. His fastball command was pretty good, and you know, this is a young man that's got a lot of stuff. You know, his fastball velocity was back up where we anticipated it would be, and where it's been, and he showed a pretty good breaking ball last night, mixed in a couple changeups, and it's just going to be a process. You know, really, he's a guy that's, like I said, got a lot of raw stuff, and he's just kind of learning how to be a pitcher right now.
How is it different from you, Jake? You're at Cedar Rapids for a bit and now another level. What's the difference for a manager?
Well, obviously these guys have a little bit more experience. They got, you know, four or five. Some of them, you know, this Jackson club's got a couple 30-year-olds.
Really?
Wow. On the team. So there's guys that have played in the big leagues last year, you know, or have big league experience that have been around. And so, you know, it's a challenge for some of our younger guys, especially pitchers, because they're not going to get the wild swings like we did in Cedar Rapids. And you know, many of these guys can pretty much hit a fastball, that's for sure. So it's a challenge to learn how to get outs within the zone and to use their stuff and to be able to execute their pitches effectively. And that's what we're trying to figure out.
Jake, I wrote down three names I wanted to ask you about. Gordon, who's probably the most talked about prospect in the Twins minor league system. I see you've got Gordon and Vilma in your middle infield spots. Nick Turley, who was a pickup who had just unbelievable stats. I see he went up to Rochester. And then Birdie, who we've been kind of waiting for about 3 years now.
Yeah, the Gordon and Vilma have both been really good, off to great starts. Gordon's probably a little more advanced with his bat right now. He can play shortstop. He's working on some things at short where it's, I would say, it's usable. His arm strength's good and everything. We're just trying to clean up some stuff, you know, footwork stuff and throwing accuracy and, you know, finishing plays, that sort of thing, which, you know, a lot of young shortstops you kind of work with and deal with. And Vilma also, you know, it's his second time through this league, obviously a 40-man roster guy. Defensively is probably the best defensive infielder in the league at multiple positions. And he's swinging the bat very well right now. With him, it's going to be continuing to gain strength and things like that for hopefully that he can compete at the big league level. And he's doing the things, playing with energy that he needs to do to hopefully get there. Turley was unbelievable. You know, obviously a guy we brought in and was leading the league in strikeouts out of our bullpen, which is tough to do. I got an opportunity to start a game and tie the lead record for strikeouts. So it was time for him to face the next challenge and moved him on up to Rochester. He's a big left-hander with an above-average fastball. I'd say above-average breaking ball. His changeup is just fair right now, but, you know, he's got two pitches that are pretty good, and his track record's always kind of been his command. If he can command the fastball and command his breaking ball, then he's very effective. And he's been able to do both thus far. So, and then the last one, really, Birdie is healthy, which is a positive. He worked on some mechanical things this off season to hopefully preserve his health a little bit longer and be able to do some things compete wise. And he's been able to do that. He's looked real good in the short stretches that we've had him, but he looks like he's back on the right track also.
Jake, when I was there a few years ago, you had Byron Buxton at Cedar Rapids. What did you see from him then? Obviously, he's not having the kind of year offensively that he would like for the Minnesota Twins. But can you track a guy? Can you see what the challenges are going to be at that point in time? And does it play out that way much?
Well, you do sometimes. And you know, different guys are going to react different ways. And sometimes that's hard to put a finger on as far as what one thing that you can do to speed the process up. But, you know, with Byron, obviously, he's just a tremendously gifted athlete. And sometimes it's just a matter of time for him to figure out and to get back to who he is and what he can do well. And knowing him as a young man, I'm sure he tried 800 different things and stuff like that because he wants to, you know, he wants to be a good player. He wants to be that guy that you can rely on. And looks like the last week he's really starting to take some steps forward to be that guy.
Jake, how much latitude do you have to make out the lineup, and how much guidance do you get from the big league club saying we want to see so-and-so at shortstop, or why don't you play so-and-so a couple games at third base to see if he's capable of moving over?
Well, we actually get a lot of leeway as far as who to play, and we don't, you know, nothing's really dictated. This guy's got to hit first, second, third, or anything like that, so which is nice because obviously through a full season you get injuries and different things like that where you got to kind of be careful to make sure guys are arrested and put them in the best positions to succeed. And, you know, I'm going to tell you that, you know, Vilma and Gordon are both going to play a lot, you know, and they're both going to play in the middle infield. And I think it's really been good for both of them. They kind of challenge each other. They both feed off each other a little bit. And Vilma's maybe a little bit further along as far as, you know, leadership characteristics. But Gordon has actually picked up a few things from Vilma, and I would say that Vilma's picked up a few things with work ethic and stuff like that from Gordon. So it's really been, I think, a positive for both of those young men.
How much time do you spend working on mechanics of a swing and throwing over to first base? How much time do you spend trying to build confidence with these kids?
Well, I think that's it. Confidence is key for everything. You know, these guys have played, you know, like we were talking about, 4 or 5 years of pro ball experience, most of them. And going in with the correct mindset and you know, the ability to continue to grow, you know, these guys aren't finished products by any stretch of the matter at this point. But, you know, if we can do different things to give them maybe a little nugget here or there to improve maybe an approach or a mechanical change, we're going to try to do that. You know, I wouldn't say it's as much as we did in Cedar Rapids. These guys are a little bit further along as far as who they're going to be, but that doesn't mean that they can't continue to grow and continue to change. And, you know, that's kind of the mantra we have here is, you know, all these guys want to get to the big leagues, but their goal should be to stay in the big leagues. And hopefully the adjustments that they make will give them a better opportunity to do so.
Hey, Jake, we're really glad you could join us this morning. We hope you can dodge that hurricane or that tornado that may be headed that way and get your game in this afternoon. During the season, we'd like to check in with you from time to time. It's fun to hear about some of those guys who will be on the major league roster in a year or two.
Yep, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
You bet. That's Jake Maurer back with more after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I got a question for you, Dave.
Yeah, we're back.
I was just thinking about this. Okay, so we've seen what happened over at the U.S. Bank Stadium and the suites and the who's going to control them and all that. And I understand that they needed to address this. But is this one of those, do you think, in the public relations scheme of things, one of those problems that became much bigger than it really is because it became so political as opposed to what really happened was a few people went and watched a game?
Yeah, no question. Once politics gets involved, all rules are off. And, you know, there were people in the Republican Party who saw a chance to get a couple of the biggest names in the Democratic Party, Kelm, Mondale, Dayton. I think we got a guest.
As long as we're talking NFL draft, let's bring in a guy that was out there, one of my favorites that I had a chance to rub elbows with over the years here. Brian Billick, thank you for giving us some time today.
Glad to do it. Good to visit with you guys.
What was it like at the draft? It looked like Philadelphia did a pretty good job.
Philly did a phenomenal job. They really did. After the 2 years that we just had in Chicago, I thought, boy, this is going to be a tough one for them to follow up. But they did just a phenomenal job, I promise you.
Any surprises from your look at things? It seemed like, you know, the quarterback value, as it has some other years, Brian, starting to move up the closer we got to pulling the trigger.
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, and that's always what this is going to be about. You know, it's what happens with the quarterbacks. Where are they going to go? You know, for them, it reminded me a little of the 2011 year when we had at the very top, of course, Cam Newton. And that was generally recognized as you know, this is the guy that's going to happen. But then there was some ambiguity about it. And we ended up pulling some guys down earlier into the first round that probably, you know, should have been there, whether it's a Jake Locker, a Blaine Gabbert, a Christian Ponder. We're going to find out if some of these guys – as a whole, were maybe pulled up. I've said it many, 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 many times. Need is a terrible evaluator. And there were a lot of teams that had need. It will be interesting to see how this this pans out.
You know, Brian, you and I had long discussions. I remember one time when you talked about if you can get a quarterback that's already proven himself, because developing a quarterback is one of the toughest things you'll ever do in sport, trying to pick the right one and then develop them and decide how much time to put into them. Does Jay Cutler still have value in the NFL because of that?
I think so, but and this is, you know, I'm always asked to compare players, and which I hate to do, because you're either, you know, slam dunking a guy in the NFL or you're killing the guy. Jay Cutler reminds me, and Minnesota Viking fans will be very familiar with Jeff George. Unbelievable talent, eye-popping arm strength. There's no reason he shouldn't have been a great, great player, but for some reason just had difficulty finding that rhythm. And again, it's been talked a great deal about how Jay has moved around from coordinator to coordinator, system to system. That's not easy to do. And that certainly can be a factor. But yeah, he's got the sheer ability. No question he should have an opportunity to be with some other team.
Brian, if we were playing bingo the last 3 days, I would have loved to have had the word character on my card, because it came up in the evaluation of just about everybody. How much does that count? You say, we've got questions about the guy's character, comma, but if he's available in the third round, he might start looking a little better to us.
Yeah, what have we found? Character seems to be on a sliding scale in the NFL.
Yeah, yes.
In terms of jumping up on the soapbox, where we are a team of character, and this is what we're all about. Oh my God, you mean I can get him in the fourth round? Well, all of a sudden now, yeah, I guess we're qualifying a little bit, and that's okay. You know, we are a country of second chances. You know, Joe Mixon's the poster child this year, and we have a handful of guys every year we have to go through this with. Joe Mixon, who Cincinnati took, and Cincinnati is known for taking players that have had some issues and with varied success. You know, you love it when you can give a young man an opportunity to turn his life around, become a functional player, member of the community, and on, and then also it can come back and bite you. Joe Mixon's going to be an interesting case. You know, we can all empathize a little bit with the idea that the worst moment in your life being caught on film, but compared to some of the other players that were taken that had some issues, this guy's transgression was on film, and that's going to live with him for a while. I was with Steve Smith on the set.
Sure, yeah, watched you, yeah.
He's going to join me on game day first on Sundays, which I'm really excited to see.
Yeah, he's good.
Now he cuts to it. And he used a term with regards to Joe Mixon that I really liked. He said he's going to have to earn his voice. He's going to have to be seen and not heard. Come in, understand what the perspective is on you, earn the trust of your teammates, earn the trust of your team and your community, say very little, go out and prove your worth both on and off the field, and earn your voice. And I think that was an excellent way of putting it.
Brian, the Vikings got multiple picks, and you know, they got 9 yesterday, and that's, you know, the way Rick Spielman likes to operate. What's that like for a coaching staff when you get that many rookies as a draft class?
Well, it's good news, bad news. The good news is boy, we've got new talent coming into the organization. The bad news is boy, that's a lot of young people.
A lot of evaluating to do, huh?
On every draft room that I've ever been in, of course, there's your top 150 board or however you rank it, and then there's guys on the side, and you're all focused on that. Well, off on the left in Baltimore, there was also our depth chart, and it's all on the, you know, movable cards. And you keep peeking over there as a coach because there's a lot of holes at this point because of free agency and cap and all that. And you're looking that, my God, I don't even have a guard. I have nobody at safety. I have no depth at outside line. You're looking at those holes. And as you take players, they start to fill in. And then even after the draft, you realize I still need some bodies here. And so now you get into the undrafted free agents and those phone calls begin. So you're very mindful of that as you look at the young players. And, of course, they're listed in a different color. And you look up and see all that youth on your board. But that's what coaching's about.
Brian, I've always wondered, I think I know the answer to this, but is there ever a moment when, I'm sure ESPN is on in every draft room around, and Mel Kiper's out there talking about the best of the undrafted is this Dartmouth guard or whoever it is. Do you ever look at it and say, do we miss the boat? Is this guy, should we be looking harder, or do they just ignore that?
Well, hopefully you look a couple things about these, and Mel does a great job. Our Mike Mayock, Daniel yeah. Jeremiah at the network who was with me in Baltimore, Charles Davis, who's maybe the smartest man on the face of the earth.
They live it, man. They're, yeah.
I mean, that sincerely. These guys do a great job. And you go through, and as I look at it, and I'm looking at it from arm's length, obviously, in terms of watching, looking at all these mock drafts and these ratings. And when you see a player come screeching up the board, where did this guy come from? That doesn't mean this is a player someone reached for. It just meant that someone else had valued this guy differently. When you go once, and I sit there on the second, third round, and see how quickly the lists change, because I put an amalgam of lists together. And there'll be a name come up at 60 that I had down around 125. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't belong at 60. It just means that for whatever reasons on the different lists. So you have to look at that with a bit of a jaundiced eye in terms of, okay, what's this guy worth that's sitting here when you look at whether it's Mike Mayock or anybody's, you know, top remaining players. And you know, okay, why is he there? If you've done your homework, and all these teams have, and you have to answer that question, because the owner's looking, going, well, I'm looking at these guys that are supposed to be really good. How come we're not taking one of these guys? Hopefully you've had those conversations before, or you have a very ready answer. Oh, no, this kid has this, or injury is, or he this, and look at this tape, that you have an answer for that.
Were you surprised when with the Chicago, San Francisco 2 and 3 and the trade of the pick and how that played out in the first round?
I was, in a sense that all that meant is that when you go from 3 to 2, all that means is someone else was trying to get into 2. And you hope you were doing, I mean, San Francisco was, they were going to take Solomon Thomas anyway.
Right.
So, you know, they weren't going to trade out of it. If they wanted Mitch Trubisky, they weren't going to give that up. So yep. They obviously, that's how that conversation goes. Look, we know you're entertaining offers from someone else. Would you flip with us? And now they're thinking, wait a minute, I can pick up another pick rather than, you know, let's say someone wants to move up from 15, from 12, from whatever. That's a long, so I'm going to drop Dak to 12. You mean I can get a blue chip player like Joe Thomas and still get some extra pick? You make that flip in a minute. And that doesn't mean that Chicago was wrong, because if you think you need a franchise quarterback, obviously they thought someone else was offering San Francisco something to move up to that position to get Trubisky.
Brian, thank you so much. You still got your place in northern Minnesota?
Oh, sure. There every summer.
I'd love to catch up to you sometime when you come through town. Always enjoy it, and thank you for giving us some time.
Sounds great.
Brian Billick, nice enough to join us from the NFL Network. Of course, former Minnesota Viking offensive coordinator and Super Bowl champion coach for the Baltimore Ravens, and he worked the NFL Network at the draft, and boy, he's got some analysis, David.
He sees things so well.
He does.
It's always fun to talk to him.
Yep.
We need to take a break here. I can tell you Sid is in studio. You are listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. Mike, we got a quick segment here before we get to P.J. Fleck. By the way, Tyler Duffy of the Twins will join us in about 15 minutes. Twins, I just want to talk about Twins. They got a chance to finish April with an above 500 record. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, 3 out of 4 on the road.
Yeah.
And last night, of course, they got postponed because of rain. But you and I were talking before. You know, Kansas City had them right where they wanted them on Friday night. And it looks like a reversal because Kansas City drops a fly ball, which allows Sano at bat, which allows Mauer to score 4 runs on 2 at-bats, and the game is over. And the bullpen was pretty good.
Yeah.
Now they're a little up and down, but they were pretty good. So it's different in this division. I mean, the White Sox leading it's kind of crazy.
You know,
right now.
Cleveland is going to catch fire. They're still the best team, but you know, I don't think the Twins are any worse than the other teams in the division. They could finish second.
Yeah. And if you can dominate Kansas City or at least hold your own, Kansas City, Detroit, and
White Sox,
you're in good shape.
No doubt about it. I think, you know, they've at least made it interesting, maybe because some of the teams have come a little bit backward towards them.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to evaluate right now, isn't it? Trying to figure out, are they getting better, or who's coming back? And I'll tell you this, though, I watched Sano take batting practice the other day, and that is something, man. He hit about 400 feet the other way to right field during BP.
That's the difference.
And he does it, you know, it looks effortless.
Oh.
And I really think that the kid, his biggest negative and positive is that he doesn't care that much. I mean, he's a free swinger, and he's going to go up there, and it doesn't bother him that much if he succeeds or fails.
But the addition of going to the opposite field has made it so much more dangerous. All right, we want to get to P.J. Fleck in time. Sid's all ready to go. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. If things go well, we'll talk Gopher football right after this. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. I want to welcome Sid to the show. And, Sid, Coach Fleck is standing by to talk to us right this minute.
P.J., talk about those two players from Western Michigan who were drafted. That Corbery Davis was drafted fifth place in the NFL draft. Talk about him. Were you surprised he went that high?
You know what, Sid? No, I wasn't surprised. Corey Davis went fifth overall, and then Taylor Moten, our offensive tackle that we had at Western Michigan, he went the last pick in the second round. So two guys drafted from Western Michigan in the first two rounds, then Keon Adams went in the seventh round to the Pittsburgh Steelers, a defensive end we had, and then our quarterback signed as a free agent, Zach Terrell, with the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm sure there's going to be some more free agents today. But, you know, I wasn't shocked about Corey. You know, Corey is a fantastic person, first and foremost. He's a young man that was only a two-star athlete, no offers out of high school, and next thing you know, he's a top-five pick. But the reason why was he became the culture. You know, he became what our culture is all about. And 4 years, he was a freshman All-American all the way to his senior year, where he became a consensus All-American. But Corey continued to do all the right things. You know, Corey never got in trouble for 4 years at Western Michigan University, always did the right thing. And it's just, you know, life got it right here by giving Corey Davis an opportunity, especially with the background he had, the tough background he had growing up. You know, one morning you don't have much money in your bank account. Next morning, you got close to $28 million, I bet. So it's pretty amazing, the story that Corey Davis has had. He's going to be fantastic for the Tennessee Titans, and we couldn't be more excited and proud of him and also Taylor Moten.
Those two, how about the guard? Was he highly recruited out of high school?
Not very highly recruited, but, you know, he did have some offers. He wasn't, you know, it wasn't offerless like Corey. But the one thing I'll say about Taylor Moten is he got better and better and better. If you would have told me Taylor Moten would have been a second-round draft pick 2 years ago, I would have said, there's no way. I thought Brian Callahan, our offensive line coach, who's now the tight end coach at University of Minnesota with us, I thought he did a phenomenal job developing Taylor Moten into one of the most dominating offensive linemen in the country. You know, there's a reason why you go 13-1. And we had our first year, I remember it, at Western Michigan, we went 1-11, and we didn't have anybody go to the National Football League. And then we went 13-1, and we had four guys already go to the National Football League, you know, two drafted in the first two rounds. And then I'm sure we'll get some more free agents here as we go. So it's really a celebration of the culture, of the process that our staff did, that our players did. It's just, it takes a lot of people for that to happen. But I'm so proud of those young men. They have incredible work ethic. And, you know, Taylor Moten's the same type of guy. Never got in trouble, did all the right things, embraced the row of the boat culture, and became a better man from the minute he stepped on campus to the minute he left.
That means you're a pretty good recruiter. When you get two guys drafted so high in the NFL draft, is that
recruiting is the number one thing that we talk about in our program at the University of Minnesota. Corey's was a very, very unique story, and Keon Adams was a very unique story as well. You know, everybody gets caught up in the stars and the four-star, five-star. You know, Corey Davis was a two-star athlete, and he didn't have any offers. So when we talk about recruiting, say we talk about two different things. We talk about recruiting high school student athletes, the best in the country, the five-star hearts, right? Not just the five-star player, but the five-star hearts to come to the University of Minnesota. But also it's about recruiting and developing the players that are within your culture already, the players that are already at the University of Minnesota. So, you know, that's the important thing. There's two parts of that. There's the development, and then there's the recruiting. And you got to be to make it in this profession, you've got to find people that can do both. And I think our staff does a tremendous job at doing that.
Okay, talk about recruiting. Your coaches are on the road right now. What can they do in the process of recruiting? What do the NCAA rules permit them to do?
Well, they're all on the road, so they're in high schools, okay? And we can't have any contact with any of these student-athletes. There's an evaluation period that's going on right now, and so we can evaluate them from afar, but you can't have any contact with them face-to-face. So our players or our coaches are in the high schools getting transcripts. you know, meeting with high school coaches, those types of things. And, you know, we're doing a tremendous job on the recruiting trail. We got 13 commitments, got one the other day. So, you know, all we're going to continue to do is keep rowing that boat. You know, we're just going to continue to forge ahead with 13 commitments. I think that's pretty much, I think, the fourth or fifth most in the entire country right now. People are really, really excited about the new era and the cultural change at the University of Minnesota. And I think that's proved by just the type of players that we're getting and the type of offers that a lot of them have. Because, again, it's not about stars. What it is about the right fit for the University of Minnesota and the hyper row the boat culture.
Are you surprised that right now the 218 recruiting class, you rate under 10 in the country? How about that? Minnesota?
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised at all. We have incredible coaches that work tremendously hard to get the best student-athletes in the country to come to the University of Minnesota. There's so much to offer at the University of Minnesota. 3.5 million people, you know, the 18 Fortune 500 companies that are within a 5-mile radius around campus, one of the best public institutions in the entire country, one of the largest campuses in the entire country. You know, so for them to be able to have success on the field and off the field, it's sitting right there for them. And I'm so glad the entire nation's starting to see why we can at the University of Minnesota instead of keep talking about why we can't do something. Now, this is part of the process. This is going to take a while. This 2018 class won't be here for another year and a half. So that'll be our first full class that will actually be on campus in about a year and a half, about a year from now, about 13 months from now. So that'll be our first full class we've recruited. So again, this is going to be a process. This is going to take a little time. But again, like I said before, we're just taking one day at a time, changing our best every day, and getting the best student athletes to come to the University of Minnesota that we possibly can.
Hey, PJ, it was well documented. You had so many injuries during spring practice. Is your confidence level high that every one of those kids will be back for fall?
Yeah, it seems like everybody's going to be back. You know, I've met with our medical staff a lot. It seems like every single one will be back. There might be one or two that's pretty close to training camp that we kind of have to ease them into that. But that was the most challenging thing for spring, you know, was to come, one, install a brand new system offensively, defensively, and special teams, but also do it with such limited numbers. And especially when you only have four offensive linemen at times going. But I know that our coaches were incredibly creative in how we were able to install things that even the hurt guys were able to do a lot of things. So, you know, we're getting closer, but I know those guys are working hard to get back on the field.
You fortified at linebacker. Have you thought about any of those guys putting on weight and being a down lineman because you've got such a plethora of talent there?
Yeah, you're incredibly right on that. You know, we did that with Carter Coughlin. You know, Carter Coughlin's one of our best linebackers, in my opinion, but he put some weight on and we put him down at the R position. We might have to do that with one or two more. You might see us, you know, we're a 4-3 system, right? But you might see us in a little bit more 3-4 at sometimes. You might see us at more 4-2-5. You know, Antoine Winfield gives us the ability to do so many things because I think he's one of the most talented DBs I've seen in a long time. The ability to do a lot of things, play in the box, cover, play out in space, play as a corner, play as a safety. He can do so much. So we're going to have to be incredibly creative. Not to say we won't be incredibly creative in the future, but you really like to be creative with your schemes and your blitzes, not necessarily your base rotation. And that's where we've really got to change some things up because of some lack of depth in other positions.
PJ Fleck, thanks for being on the show. And for being on the show, we will get you a MERS certificate, the best steak in town. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Roll the boat. Sky Ma.
That's PJ Fleck. We'll be back with Minnesota Twin Hammer in about 3 minutes from now. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back and talk a little Twins baseball after this. You are listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are back. We promised we'd talk a little Twins baseball in Kansas City right now. Tyler Duffy is standing by to talk to us, Sid.
Tyler Duffy, is there any chance they'll make you a starter instead of coming out of the bullpen?
I've really enjoyed both so far. You know, it's one of those things, I'm always happy to be in the big league. So, you know, as long as I'm here helping the team compete and win games, I mean, that's ultimately, you know, the goal.
Tyler, Kansas City, that was an interesting game the other night. Now, last night you got postponed because of rain. What do you do on an off day like that? What do you guys do when you find out you got a freebie?
Normally, we'll try and get out and, you know, enjoy the day a little bit, but the problem is it rained for about 12 hours yesterday. So we sat around and, you know, it was dark and stormy all day. So I just hung out and laid low and, you know, just enjoyed being able to sit around and recover a little bit.
Tyler, I was looking at the stats. A lot of good ERAs, including yours, at a nice 1.59. But the guy at the top of the list is Jimenez. Is he hard to live with that perfect ERA?
Yeah, you know, he went out and did his job that day, and, you know, he's got that zero to hold on to for a while. So it's going to be tough for any of us other pitchers to get there, but, you know, it's a good way to start the season for him.
Can you give us a weather for what's going on in Kansas City today?
I'm going to guess it's about maybe 49, and it's currently raining. So 43 degrees. Sorry, I was a little warm on the warm side. 43 and raining.
Field covered or
It is covered. It looks like it's going to be covered for a while, but I guess we have about 2 hours till the game's supposed to start, so we'll see what happens.
How does Mulder inform you whether you be in the bullpen and be pitching that day? Do you know in advance, or how does it work?
Normally, you know, say you've thrown a few games out of, you know, say we threw two out of 3 days in a series, you know, we may get a day off and he may, you know, tell us like, we're going to stay away from you for a day unless we need you. But for the most part, we don't hear much, especially as the bullpen guys go. But, you know, as the day goes by, you know, you may be told like, hey, if we need you for some long work, he may say something beforehand. But otherwise, it's kind of flying by the seat of your pants most of the time.
Is that a tough part of it when you've been a starter all your life to get used to that regimen?
It's, you know, it's one of those things you can get used to. I relieved in college, fortunately, so I kind of knew a little bit about it, but obviously that was in short spurts, not, you know, full season's worth of games. And it's one of those things I'm learning as I'm going and just trying to tap into all the resources I have. We have a lot of good guys on this team, you know, veteran guys, young guys that have done the transition that I'm doing right now. So it's I've had a lot of people to use for information.
Tyler, we know Neil Allen likes the changeup. Have you added pitches to your repertoire or thrown anything more often now than you were in college and in the minors?
Absolutely. I actually worked really hard this spring on, you know, using my changeup and then using it as an actual pitch instead of just throwing it. That was a big part of, I think, my struggle last year was having that third pitch. And I, you know, worked all spring on it, you know, went to Rochester and continued to work on it. And I feel good about it now. It's just in a bullpen role, you don't get to use all three pitches as much. And, you know, as the time comes, I'll obviously use it. But for now, you know, it's just get in there and get strikes however I need to.
Eddie G, how does he handle you guys in a bullpen? How does he supervise your situation?
He's pretty good. He's laid back, as you could probably imagine. You know, he is a pretty fierce competitor on the field, but off the field, you know, he likes to enjoy himself and have fun, and he keeps it light. And I think that's part of, you know, our success so far is that, you know, even though it's such a serious game, once you're in there, you've got to realize that, you know, there's a lot more going on every day than just your baseball game and, you know, enjoying your teammates and things like that. And he's made sure, you know, daily to remind us of that, you know, and just his actions and how he carries himself, and I think it keeps everybody pretty loose.
Oh, Eddie's the best, isn't he? He's got that sense of humor in the midst of it all, but he believes if you're going to walk out to the mound, you better have a little something, a little confidence and a little tenacity to you.
Absolutely. That's his biggest thing, you know, is competing. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how you do it, what you want to do to get ready to do it, but competing once you get out on the mound is the biggest thing every day, and you know, I think we've all embraced that and are trying to take that and go full speed with it.
Tyler Duffy, thank you very much for being on our show. And for being on our show, we'll get you a certificate to the best steakhouse in town. Murray's will get that to you. Thank you.
Oh, sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, Tyler, good luck with the weather today. Hope you get that game in.
Yeah, we definitely do. Wish us luck.
All right, that's Tyler Duffy. More talk when we come back. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. Don't forget, you can text us anytime you want, as a number of people have done. That text number is 81807, 81807. Right now, you should give us a call. We've got no guests in this segment. If you want to call on the draft or anything else that's on your mind, start of the Twin Season, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Mike and Sid, we'll go back to a couple of topics we visited early. The Twins today, sounds like they, you know, maybe 50-50, a little bit better. They get that game in today. I think everybody at the beginning of the year would have been very satisfied to have them at 500 at the end of the first month of the season.
More than satisfied, yeah. And you see a little bit of hope, and you see that they've got some people that you have to pitch around a little bit now. Although it is kind of mystifying because if you said that, you'd say, okay, Buxton must be taken off, Maurer must be having a good year, all those things. Those really haven't happened. But they found a way with their pitching staff, the rotation, which was the biggest question mark. I mean, when Santana pitches, don't you have kind of a comfort level? I mean, you feel like the game's under control?
Best pitcher in the major leagues right now, according to the stats. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and you feel that when you feel like he knows what he's doing. He's going to give you a good outing, you know?
Sid, we got a text message here for you. Oh, put the headset on here because this text message is directed right at you. It says, Sid, how much longer can the Twins afford to allow Byron Buxton to underperform before they send him to the minors?
Well, he's doing pretty good this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the timing.
Yeah.
I would have expected maybe this one last. I think they like some of the things they saw in the last three games that Buxton's played.
They ain't going to send him to the minors for a while. I just think they're going to. His defense is so good that it's, he saves a lot of pitchers' hits. And I talked to Malter the other day. He says that we're going to have patience with the guy and see what he can do. We're going back to last September when he had that good streak, and they're hoping he gets that again.
We got a caller here, Hammer. I don't have that board up. Is it? Diane Hutchinson, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a baseball question.
Yeah.
What does the OPS stat mean?
OPS?
Well, on base percentage, I'm thinking. Is it? Am I missing something here?
I will have an answer for you.
That's right for Dave on this one.
Yeah, we're all looking at each other, and Sid is reading. Otherwise, he's a guy we usually go to.
Yeah, he's a big stats guy.
Yeah, BAPIT.
We'll have to research that one.
All right. You got it. All right, Hammer, take it away.
It's on base plus slugging percentage.
On base plus slugging percentage. There you go. Thank you, Hammer. That was very quick. Nicely done. If we get into some of those arcane stats, we're going to need you to keep that board up or wherever you went on that. All right, let me see another. We had another. How many of the How many of the kids recruited for 2018 by PJ Fleck are from Minnesota? Well, you know, it's they're early commits. These are not. These people have signed nothing. I'm not sure.
Sapp from Eden Prairie.
From Eden Prairie, who was the very first.
He's kind of from Eden Prairie.
Yeah, he's currently from Eden Prairie. I'm not sure if there are any others.
Not that I know of.
I know they're looking at some Minnesota kids. I think they'd be more likely to fill with them. It's not unusual that they go outstate for some of those early commitments. But Sapp is an interesting thing. He has 2 years, Mike, he hasn't played?
2 years. He hasn't played since his sophomore year, spring of his sophomore year. Sid and I were having lunch with Mike Grant and Mike Zimmer and Bud Grant recently. And we were talking about Sapp, and he says, I wish I could tell you more. I just haven't seen him play. And once Alabama offered him after his sophomore spring football, which they have in Florida of his sophomore year, that's when everybody got on him.
I don't know. You know more about that than I do.
Well, it was an interesting conversation we had that day, Sid, and Mike Zimmer's take on what you need and how you need to build the team. What did you think of the draft?
How do you know? I mean, you don't know anything until they start playing. I was surprised they took that running back, but they were really high in him. I think the Ohio State pick was absolutely wonderful.
Good, because he's going to join us in the 11
Best
o'clock hour.
In the country.
Yeah, he'll be our guest at 11:05. Last text message here in the final 30 seconds. Do you think Hunter Green would be a good selection for the Twins in the draft? Well, he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. A really interesting story about him. I've got something on Facebook right now. He said, sure, pick Hunter Green, take the kid from Japan, and you'd go from probably the 23rd best minor league system, maybe the best in minor league baseball. We'll talk about that and more an hour to go. Text us, 81807, Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.